steering committee for strictly for public input, and that there would be, you know, a series of two or three meetings to discuss the objectives and priorities, and also to have, you know, kind of an introduction and general discussion. And so that's how they're choosing to go forward with it. And then we also created a public survey forum that they've advertised to residents of Park County. The steering committee is also helping in trying to solicit general public members to respond to that survey as well. And so we're trying to handle it from a couple different ways. And there will still be opportunities for the general public to comment, but mostly in the draft document. So the intent is having the steering committee to really be working on it in the preparation of the document, but then once it comes out for public review, of course, you know, we'll accept public comments and insight on that.
Okay, I think that's something we can discuss in the future amongst ourselves, and have Commissioner Bousman make contact with you. And personally, I think some sort of combination of those would be the best way to go. But I think we'll have that discussion and then let Joel take it over on that and continue that communication with you, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I would also add that something that Park County's chosen to do, and something that we did with Washakie that was also very beneficial, is we had a meeting with, so the commissioners invited several of the federal agencies and Wyoming Game and Fish and some of the, you know, conservation districts and county entities that they wanted to involve. And we had a really great discussion about upcoming planning opportunities for involvement, expectations, acknowledging that some of that communication is already ongoing, but that really trying to come into starting that conversation of where do those federal agencies and those state agencies see opportunities for coordination and work in that cooperating agency status, and things that they would see as beneficial being in these plans, or ways that we can word or present things that would be beneficial to those federal agencies. So that's something I would also recommend as well.
I think that's an excellent point, and I think that's one of the benefits we have of Joel undertaking this, because he's had experience in that regard with those agencies in the past, and I'm sure that he'll continue that moving forward. So that's a good point. Thank you for that idea.
Yeah, please discuss, and we'll come back to that at a later time.
Okay, I think Joel has a comment.
One thing to add, Dessa, the last time we, on the start, did not include our federal agencies, and we should have, and when we got the draft plan, put it out to public comment, some of the best comments that resulted in some changes to the plan that made it a whole lot more workable came from the federal agencies. And I guess my thought this time around, if we decide to have a steering committee, I would want somebody from federal agencies involved in that part as well, because for this to work right, we need them. We need the agency and Game and Fish, state agencies. We need those agencies involved as we put this together, because they have a perspective on when we're talking a philosophical issue, for example, on how that can work on the ground from their perspective. So we wind up with a better plan and less disagreement if we work with them throughout the process. So that's critical.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, Joel, that we found so far in some of our other planning efforts is even within the federal agencies, there's a little misinformation about what a cooperating agency, you know, status and abilities and expertise is. And so it's actually been a really great way to start that initial conversation.
And we also have available, if we need to, through WCCA with our natural resource attorney, Bailey Brennan, if she needs to, I think, to come to a meeting and explain to a steering committee or to the federal agencies, what cooperating agency status means and what it doesn't mean and that sort of thing.
Yeah, excellent point.
I think that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
So I have just a few things left on the agenda. One being the timeline. I know you had your timeline for that, and this is something that we can discuss and think about, but if you have an idea of when we're aiming for a draft, like we have kind of a preliminary draft stage for review. We also have, you know, the objectives, priorities, and then a draft to release to the public. So kind of the timeline, if you know that now, that's great. If not, something to think about and get to me is an idea of kind of some general points that we're going to try and hit for moving this plan along.
So we have there, I think there is a time based on the FNRPA grant, is there not, Matthew, that we're supposed to have this done?
It was just the application process. So since we put in within the timeline, we can expend funds after, I think, July 1st of this year was the deadline to submit the application. But since we've already done that and we've received permission to use the funds, we're good. So it can extend beyond that July 1st deadline.
Okay, so I guess as far as timeline, Dessa, I would request your input on once we get into this a little bit and you get a chance to review our existing plan and we get a feel for what the changes are, the additions, that sort of thing. That I don't feel comfortable in my head right now saying what the timeline would be because
we've got time to think about it,
and I can definitely suggest something I can do that as far as when I put together these meeting notes. I can suggest some potential based on what I've seen of the plan and where I think, you know, just looking at the timeline for you guys to review as well. The last thing I had was in relation to one of the things I really like to do is to provide open transparency and availability to people for, you know, documents. And most of the other counties are choosing to post to their county website. And so I just wanted to check on what sort of things you wanted to post to that website or if you had that set up or if we needed to find an alternative way of posting information.
We have our county website.
We have the county website, and I think you can handle that, Dessa, probably through Matt Gaffney.
Okay. All right, so those are the only questions and clarifications I needed to get this started at this point. I'll type up these meeting notes and get them to you. Is there anything else? Any questions you guys have for me or thoughts?
This is Joel again. That's the one thing that comes to my mind. Even though I'm the point of contact, commissioner point of contact, I'd request you include Matt Gaffney in any communication with me because we're working. He's our county administrator, and the follow-up kind of stuff will be his. It's in his wheelhouse, so.
Okay. All right. Well then, thank you guys very much for making the time this morning. I'm super excited about this project. Also because, I don't know if you guys know, but I have family that lives down in Pinedale, and so this gives me an opportunity to come visit and stay with them when I'm down there working, so I'm looking forward to this.
Well, that's a good deal. Thank you, Dessa. Any other questions, comments? I think we're good. Look forward to you working with Joel on this project and helping us in this endeavor. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys very much, and we'll be in contact soon.
Okay, thanks, Dessa.
Thank you.
Thanks, have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
Moving on down the agenda, the third item, I've had numerous requests from department heads and elected officials. The county has a policy in the handbook that says there's a use it or lose it policy for leave. So essentially, if you go over the accrued amount, and if you haven't used that vacation by July 1st, you lose that leave. With COVID, a lot of folks had to reschedule or cancel vacation plans, and so the request to you gentlemen was to have a one-time only extension of that use it or lose it leave policy to October 31st of this year. I've conferred with Carrie. She doesn't have any concerns from a financial standpoint, and I think it would be a very generous and reasonable accommodation to county employees to make that one-time extension so that they can use that leave in the fall, and they won't lose that leave that they've essentially accrued over the course of the year. So I would recommend it that the commission approve that measure, but I'd be happy to answer any questions you gentlemen might have.
Any questions? I think it would be due to the extenuating circumstances that we've had to endure with the COVID-19, that it would be the appropriate thing to do to make a dispensation in terms of extending that leave till, what did you say, October?
October 31st of this year.
So that the employees wouldn't be put in a position of, in all likelihood, of having to lose that leave.
That's correct.
Because of time restraints, travel constraints, restrictions with staying home from other states, not our own, but travel requiring isolation and so on. So personally, I'm in favor of that, but commissioners, what do you think?
I'm okay.
I have no problems with it.
Is that pretty easy for you to track, Karen? Mm-hmm.
So Matt, is there a chance that we'd have a big surge for a specific short time? In other words, we'd be short all of a sudden in some areas within the county, or is it going to be scheduled still, so you can have five here and two there and that sort of thing?
So the supervisors that I've talked to are well aware of that potential issue, and I think they would try and space out and that scheduling so that they're not left shorthanded. But yeah, they're well aware that they might get a big rush of requests for leave, and they can plan accordingly.
I think you'd have a bigger surge if you left it the way it is and they had to use it by June 30th. So, anyway, if everybody's in agreement, I would consider a motion that we grant this request for a one-time extension of our policy to extend the requirement for taking leave until October 31st, 2020 of this year.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Have a second? Any discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, last agenda item, the best for last. I don't know if Mike's here. All right. So a discussion regarding broadband for county facilities. I brought Mike in. I know he's done a fair amount of research on potential IT challenges for providing broadband to the county courthouse and to county facilities. I know Clayton and Mike have also looked at the sort of legal implications behind making the change. So I guess with that, I turn it over to Mike Christie first and let him explain the challenges, benefits of installing broadband in the courthouse and other county facilities.
I always bring papers for you.
Yeah. Just make sure I don't get any more than anybody else.
Thanks, Clayton.
Thank you.
I did also get a copy for you. Basically, looking at the first thing we cover is our network currently stands. We have 15 separate sites within the county. It's basically on a ring spoke topology which means any one of those facilities can talk to another facility, which is helpful from Marbleton Sheriff's Office back to the Sheriff's Office. Same thing, search and rescue, even Sandraw, which, although that's not currently in use, there's a plan to maybe put that in use. So all these sites connect together. We've got a quote, if you want to call it that, from CenturyLink on the first page there, that little box, showing how they're willing to, they now have the capability we can up our speeds within the county. So that's it. But if you look on page 2, and this also coincides with the extra sheet I gave you, these are the sites, and these are what we're paying for them currently. Now, the sheet that I just gave you was information Matt passed to me from CenturyLink. It's updated. The thing that's off is the Sheriff's Office. We no longer pay for that. So it's $1,355 instead of, or $13,024. That's recurring every month. Now, Union Wireless is currently doing the big fiber install in the county. Currently, they're only doing a phase one, which is this, it's potentially was only this side of Pine Street. But they are also looking to include the attorney's office, public health, and they want to stretch it down to Road and Bridge. These are the prices they give for those, and then there will be more for the Road and Bridge and the public health side. But once they add that, and we get the center, Union doesn't want to move forward, and I guess that's, for me, my biggest thing here is trying to figure out how the commission would like us to go forward. Union wants a commitment, if you will, before they'll do any work into our facilities. If we were to go with that and give them that and give them money, they won't finish the county, our other 11 sites around the county, for 2 to 3 years, which means we will still have to pay the CenturyLink fees so that we keep our ring spoke topology and allow connectivity between all locations, and we do get, then we'll have Union's foot in the door on the courthouse and the Pinedale Central areas. That's basically it. The paperwork just explains it. So this sheet is CenturyLink's proposal to us. The page 4 would be CenturyLink's proposal for upping our bandwidth. They've given us two options, 300 megabit for $938 or 500 megabit for $1,345. And then that's just the breakdown, the last sheet, although it's got my writings on it because it's, like I said, it's dynamically connected. It wouldn't be point to point. Union will require a central point. Everyone will have to go through the courthouse, slowing connectivity down. So even if we do that, with the addition of Union plus our CenturyLink, everything has to then come to the courthouse, and then we'd have to go back out to these separate locations.
Mr. Chairman,
Commissioner Bell.
Question for Mike. Is this cost, like, say, 1 gigabyte, $2,600? Is that per each of the 13 sites?
No. That,
what does that mean?
We have a 1 gigabyte pipe that will come into the courthouse. And then from there, we will distribute the 50 meg here, the 100 meg there, whatnot. That's why. So, but those are all monthly recurring charges.
And that's what adds up to the $13,000 a month.
Well, on the first sheet that you're looking at, that's just what we're looking to up it to from the current CenturyLink contract, but yes. And again, that doesn't include all our other sites. This is just the ones they're addressing that we really want to change the speed on right now.
So all sites would not be the same speed?
All the sites will still maintain the same until we can get CenturyLink in. And again, so that would require another commitment. Do we want to bring CenturyLink in and say, okay, now these sites further out, we want to increase them as well. Their price too would go up. And some of them we would like to. Some of them we can drop down. So we'll save money. That's with the current contract. Well, contract's not the right word because that expired years ago. But
and Mr. Chairman, I should have prefaced this. I guess I should have prefaced this discussion. We're trying to nail down what our contractual legal obligation is with CenturyLink currently. We have nothing that indicates we have a valid signed contract with CenturyLink. That being said, they provide a number of services at about $25,000 a month. So that's the first task that I'm trying to track down if there is a valid contract. We just received a inventory list, or I guess that's the correct term, right?
That's what you call the thing.
And it's basically all the equipment and infrastructure that CenturyLink currently has to provide services to the county. Mike is going through that and trying to verify, I guess, the accuracy of that list. And then the final piece of the puzzle is an itemized billing statement. Basically, what amount of money are we paying for given services provided by CenturyLink? I have yet to get that, although I'm hopeful I'll have that by the end of the week. So again, we're still trying to figure out where we stand with CenturyLink, but we have a list of inventory. We can't find a valid contract. That being said, they do provide a number of services, and we are trying to look at if we go to broadband, can that be phased out? Will that impact other services that CenturyLink provides, 911 being the big concern there?
So we have a number of questions that you are aware of that are unanswered, and I assume that this presentation today is informational for us to assimilate and see at this time if we have questions as well. Is that correct?
That and to provide a direction forward. Where do we want to go from here?
How can you make a decision where to go forward when you don't have all the questions answered? Okay. Let's have some questions.
Yeah, it was informational, Mr. Chairman, and just to get a sense of, yes, does the commission want us to pursue this? You know, there is an opportunity because Union is trenching currently, and yeah, can they punch into the courthouse and then in their phase two and phase three development get this connectivity that Mike is talking about? I don't know. Those are questions beyond my expertise, but it is. We're not looking for any motion, vote, or action from the commission.
I wouldn't think so. But my, you know, one of the questions I have, and I think there's probably others out there, in order to make this decision, we're talking about phase one, and we're looking at perhaps including phase one would be public health and road and bridge. We don't know that. We're looking at phase two and phase three, and we're told that may be 2 or 3 years down the road, and we don't know that we don't have a guarantee on that either. So are we actually being presented with a situation that right off the bat we're going to be entertaining duplicity of services until we come up with the big picture? I mean, And this is playing the devil's advocate, maybe. But if we agree to this, moving forward with Union on phase one, I know they have plans, maybe, or intentions of completing services down to the south end of the county. Are we going to be taking away or adding to that incentive by doing this? Those are just some questions I have. I don't know. I don't know how much we're paying for now. I don't know if we have a contract. I don't know if we if CenturyLink might take a different viewpoint of this, that if we start parceling out broadband, they may withdraw some of their other services. Does Union have the capacity to provide everything we need in the event that would happen, like 911 and so on? Those are just some questions. I don't know.
And currently, one of our biggest problems, and we've had it for 6-8 years now, is getting a true CenturyLink person that will take responsibility for our account and help us manage it. Matt and I had a link call with the lady on Friday. She said, I'm your person. We'll take care of it. We got in the link call. She said, wait, I'm not it. So now it's somebody else. And we're scheduling a link call with them to get it going. Now, the same guy that gave Matt the information today is the one that did this quote. So we may be onto something there. But you're right. There's a lot of questions he needs to answer going forward on whether or not what they are willing to do for us with the current situation.
Mr. Chairman.
It doesn't sound like they're ready for make us a recommendation yet.
I don't think so.
Oh, no. I'm concerned about phase one. If we don't continue with phase one, then phase two and three are moved down the road. And we're already getting service. So it sounds to me like you guys are you're on the ball trying to force CenturyLink into answering questions that you've never had an answer to.
Correct. Yes.
And I think that's what we need, are those answers before we can go ahead with a new company coming in. I think a new company coming to town is great for competition, but we got to make sure that we give the opportunity to the company that's always been here. I guess it's the bid process, so to speak. I don't know how they work. I just don't. But I struggle with, if you guys don't do this in phase one, we're going to set back phase two and phase three for 3 or 4 years. I struggle with that a little bit.
Well, this is not really a question of the need. We need the broadband. And if there's ever been a time that's put that at the forefront, has been dealing with this COVID-19 mm-hmm. issue. So that's not the question. I think we have to, the difficulty I'm having, and you're not asking for a decision today, I understand, but in order to make a proper informed decision, you have to have the information available and the questions answered. And I guess that's where we are in the process, I would think, unless there's a different ask here.
No, part of it was we've met with two union reps that are wanting to do this, and they're starting with the phase one, and they're trying to solicit business is exactly what they're doing. So they would like us to commit to at least let them start doing site surveys and stuff, but there's going to be a fee to that. And I told them, I'm not willing to commit to anything when I can't have a completed project from you in any disclosed time frame. So I told them that I would be willing to bring it to the commission and see which way we wanted to go forward.
Okay. Commissioner Griffin.
Mr. Chairman, I see some hesitancy in Mike and trying to figure out which way to go. So my concern would be to let you shoulder the burden. You put together a plan that you believe would be the most advantageous for this county, and then bring it back to the commission. And you can explain to us what you believe is the best, and then we'll just take it from there and see where we're at. That's what I believe.
Okay, but we have to understand that that's going to take some time. And, if that means Union doesn't get their push to go forward, then they don't. And I can get with the powers that be and get as much information as I can if we can put something together that's viable to make a decision on.
Commissioner Noble, maybe you can help us understand what exactly is required in the push to go forward? I mean, I think I partially understand that from union's perspective, but I still am having great difficulty trying to make sense of this when we have so many unanswered questions.
I guess some of the perspective points I come to are throughout the last 3 years of dealing with broadband, CenturyLink has been nothing less than difficult the whole time, and these may be their speeds that we're buying, but do we really get them? I don't believe that. Most of the time you can do a speed test and we're not near that. So those are some concerns. If they're willing to come in and bump these speeds so that they're reliable and meeting our needs, I'm fine with CenturyLink. The other concern I have is the billing issue. I know that the past clerk worked on it hard, and Matt's been digging in, and it sounds like Mike's working with Matt. We need to understand what we're paying for. And I think the other thing, union is here, and they've been an excellent partner since they've committed to us. And they do plan on being a big piney by the end of July.
Now, when you say committed to us, you mean?
Oh, I think, for
county,
example,
the people in the county?
Both, all the above. And I think a perfect example is the Lumen site, how they worked with us there so diligently to get power to that site. I guess I'd like to see Matt continue to work on the inventory and the billing breakdown, and Mike try to verify their speeds and see if we can either get them out of union or CenturyLink. We need to have the better, I want to know that what we're paying for, we're getting.
How do you verify the speeds? Because you brought up a very good point.
Well, I think a lot of those speeds have been verified clear back when Russ Elliott was working for the state broadband state and sent out the postcards. It was pretty significant that we weren't getting them at that time.
Yeah, but they're offering us increased speeds.
And they do have increased
speeds. They are.
Speeds.
However, what they're actually showing is not the speed of the internet. It's the bandwidth allowable pipe that we have. Mm-hmm. And that's where it comes with the 1 gig pipe that is shared. So you get 100, you get 100, that's only 10 hundreds. So it's going to go quickly. So that's why we tone it down. Now, at the time that we did the whole contract with CenturyLink, the fastest internet speed they had available in the county was 50 meg. So that's as fast as you'll ever get, and the provider will guarantee 80% of that. So, you know, places like the attorney's office might know they throttled that for whatever reason, but we were able to open that up. But still, everything can only narrowly approach 50 meg so far. But we are getting quotes now to increase that, because CenturyLink's technology, if you will, has upgraded enough here that they can provide better. And obviously, in big metropolitan areas, you can get up to a gig speed. We'll never have that. But we need to get something that's manageable, especially as a county, if we want to, you know, bring people in that are doing e-commerce and whatnot. We've got to have it available. And that, I think, is something wonderful that union's doing. But on the union side, when we met with them, they can't even tell us where they're going to demark their stuff, where it's going to terminate, and how they'll pass it out from there. So they don't even have that piece done for the town yet.
So based on what I'm hearing, and I'm waiting for see if there's any other input, but based on what you're saying and what's been said, I think what Commissioner Vickery said is probably the way to move forward with this.
I agree.
In terms of taking time, have you look into it and try to give us not only some answers, but a better picture of what our options are and what direction we need to take.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I hope to have the itemized billing breakdown by your next commission meeting and a final answer on the contract question. But I guess I know we're running short on the time. I would ask the commission to give some thought If there is no current contract with CenturyLink, and again, I have not seen anything that indicates there is, what is your preferred alternative or method of moving forward? Because I guess we can sign a contract with CenturyLink if there isn't a valid one, and if there isn't, then maybe that's an opportunity to explore competitors. But I guess that's what I would leave the commission with. What should the county do? And I can consult with the county attorney's office as well. What is the preferable way to address moving forward if there is no contract with CenturyLink?
It'd have to be.
Well, that brings up a good question, or brings up a question, and that is Union going to be able to provide us with all the services that we're currently getting from CenturyLink? And if they're not, are you going to have to contract with them for separate services? And I'm speaking specifically of the 911. That's something that needs to be looked into. That's something that needs to be weighed in as an option. I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's something that I would expect you could work with the county attorney's office as well as Mike, since she's going to undertake looking at this larger picture and present it back to us to come up with a recommendation or a plan. And there again, it's back to unanswered questions. We don't know the answer to those. That probably didn't answer your question. That's the best answer I got.
No, fair enough.
And I appreciate all the uncertainty and variables, and we'll do our best to fill in those gaps.
Okay. Anything else for these guys?
No, sir.
Okay. Shad, you got anything you want to add?
Nothing productive, no.
Clayton?
I just have one question that, and I don't know if, can you guys hear me?
Barely.
One question, and maybe Mike Christie can answer this for me. Because my understanding of communication that has been had with Union from a variety of sources, they're trying to get underneath the highway, or there's a question about whether or not they should be getting underneath the highway from one side of town to the other. Is it possible to get effective internet speeds across the road to our office, for example, without running a hard line underneath the road? Can that be wirelessly projected from the courthouse across the street? No. What are those options?
No, you're gonna need to have it connected. However, and again, this would go back to your office as well, and with Matt working, we've already done that. We drilled under the road. When we moved the attorney's office across the street, we had to do it. We paid $26,000 to do it. But Union is saying, well, if CenturyLink did it, then they may claim that conduit. I don't know that they can if we paid that bill. So I don't know the answer, but the tube's already there. It's done.
So are we under any type of time crunch to get them? I don't know. I would agree with you. If we paid for the pipe, it's our pipe.
Agreed. However, Union, and again, because Union would love to drill that pipe and get their $26,000 as well, so they're saying, well, if CenturyLink did it, CenturyLink will claim it. You know, I don't know.
I think that'll come out in the end.
It sounds to me like an in-kind donation.
So
either way, we need physical connection.
Correct. And okay. The way we have it now, we come, and then we come up, we go back to the phone pole, and then we come over to your office.
Chad, you found something.
Just for point of discussion, I'll work with Mike Christie and Matt Gaffney on this, but it's important to keep in mind that there's two dispatch centers now, with the second dispatch center in Marbleton Sheriff's Office as well.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've already been talking with CenturyLink on that, because right now with the Marbleton Sheriff's Office, the way it was, we just have twisted pair real light internet connectivity into there. It's not fast speeds. With the new dispatch center, we've got fiber that runs to the alleyway alongside Marbleton Sheriff's Office, and we're looking to extend that fiber into our building so that it does help the dispatch center.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to bring forth a real-world perspective of this. So in the last 5 to 10 years, law enforcement has gotten body cams and all this technology, and we get that in as discovery. And so say, for example, you have a domestic violence incident and 5 deputies show up, which really isn't uncommon at all. We may very well end up with 5 to 6 hours of body cam video that we have to review and then submit over to discovery to the defense attorneys. And what kind of started this whole process, from my perspective, is the time my staff is having to spend to recopy this discovery because the sheriff's office can't get it over to us in a method where we can put it out in the cloud and just let them access it. So we're having to reinvent the wheel by getting the discovery from the sheriff's office, recopying it, which takes my staff anywhere from 3 to 5 hours per case to recopy that discovery and then submit it off onto the defense. So when you look at that over the course of a year, that's a substantial amount of employee time that my office has to spend for something that could be helped if we had internet speed we could actually work with. We've tried working with CenturyLink, and it seems to me like you just beat your head against the wall with them. They just don't ever seem to be of any help. We're finally up to roughly 20 megs is what our speed test is showing, which is better than it was, but it's not near enough to do the discovery transfer through the cloud or however it's going to be done, so that we can improve our efficiency to the point where it's realistic. And there, you know, other counties are doing it of similar size. Lincoln County, they're doing their discovery through the cloud system and not having the burden we're having. So smaller, it's possible in a smaller county. I don't know what the answer is, but to me, beating our head against the wall, continuing to allow CenturyLink just to do nothing just doesn't seem like a good option. So I'd just like to put that forth to the commission that it seems like we're talking, just don't get anywhere with them. And I you know, if we could find out that Union has the ability to help, probably be the best $20,000 we ever spent if that's what we have to do to get a conduit and get it started. I mean, I don't know, and this is Mike's field of expertise, not mine, but the real world reality is it just isn't working. And, you know, it's going to get worse and worse as time goes on. I mean, we're like it or not, we're in a technology era now, and we have to get better at this. If we're going to, like we talked about, draw businesses in that will rely on this higher speed, make our offices efficient, because we're just going to fall behind to the point where we can't function if we don't get this fixed, and we're not getting it fixed.
I agree with you. I think it's clear that CenturyLink has us between a rock and a hard place. It's something that we have to figure out. There's no discussion in terms of the argument of the need. We definitely need that. There is some discussion and concern, and maybe you can come back to us, because we also have to have 911. So we just want to make sure that we have everything covered. I'd like to move forward with this. I don't know how, but that's what I think just commissioned you guys to do, to try to figure out for us, because we're nowhere.
And I think it's important to point out that we now, I mean, it's baby steps, which it most certainly should be at the run state, but we're at the baby steps now. We have at least got the person that is assigned to our account. So we've got that now. We can meet, we can see what they can provide. However, we just got that, you know, yesterday and today. So
yeah, I guess appropriate to ask what they won't provide if we don't use them for broadband.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So a lot of that's dictated by the federal community. I don't know the name of it, PSEC or something.
Yeah.
They can't drop the 911. That's federally mandated.
Well, I think one thing to point out though, 911 is phone. I'm dealing strictly with internet.
Exactly.
Now, again, Mike, I don't know if you would ever see this document, but like the attorney's office is double what our offices or the sheriff's offices for the same speed, because they're doing VoIP, voice over internet protocol. So they're being charged double, and I will address that as well. So that's why we had the new contract date on that attorney's office move. So we will look at it. It is going to take some time to put this together, but we do have a point of contact from both Union and CenturyLink that I can go to, and I can get some of the questions answered that we need.
So we'll look forward to you keeping us updated and appraised.
Okay. Probably not going to have an answer as fast as Matt does on. He's got his sheet. Can I get this away?
Yeah. Anything else, Matt?
No, sir.
Okay, we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back and start back.